In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Yesterday at Mass was that very reading from St. Paul to Timothy, the second letter, to preach when convenient and inconvenient. Well, today we're going to be preaching to women who have had abortions because there's help for them. There's help for them. No one wants to think of anyone as an untouchable. Once you've done that, God wants to free you from all the torment, all the sadness, all the brokenness. This is what God's will is. So I have Eleanor McCullen with me today, and we're going to be talking about that women can have a new life if they've had an abortion, that God wants to heal the very pain, the very source, the very hate that they have for themselves. So, Eleanor, you said that this is the area of pro-life that's most neglected. Tell us about it.
Hi, Father. Hi, everyone. Yes, I'm happy to be here. And something happened in the last couple of weeks that's drawing my attention more to the people that are suffering from having an abortion. And not just a woman that may have gone there, because remember, Father, she's a product of our society. The woman just didn't go there by herself. She is a byproduct of our society, the media, perhaps her own family, perhaps her boyfriend, and here she finds herself in front of Planned Parenthood. So a couple of weeks ago, I was waiting there. I was standing outside of Planned Parenthood, and a woman came up to me, and she said, "I wish you would have been here. Somebody would have been here 17 years ago." She said, "Thank you for being here now." She said, "I'm just walking by," but she said, "Let me tell you my story." She said, "It's been 17 years since I had an abortion." And she said, I'm still not over it. And now she's not crying, but she has tears in her eyes. And I said, "Oh my gosh." I said, I can understand your pain." She said, "The pain doesn't go away." She said, "It's always there. It might go away for a day or two, but it's always there. Something reminds me that," and she said the words, Father, she said, "I killed my child." She said those words. They're very strong words. And she said, "But if somebody had been here just to say, wait a minute," she said, "perhaps I would not have gone in that day." We're going to talk about mercy to her. I said, we're going to talk about healing. We're going to talk about God's forgiveness and going on with your life. And so that's what we began to do. I put her in my car and we talked for a while. And before we finish the program today, Father, I'm going to give a retreat that's going on with Rachel's Project Rachel. They're doing a retreat. They do many retreats, but one is coming up, and it's a retreat for people, not just this young woman that came by that day, but it's for maybe the person that drove you to the abortion mill. Maybe it's the person at home that encouraged you. First of all, I said to her, all the people that were involved in your abortion, they encouraged you, they drove you there, they said you have to do it. You have to forgive them, because I'm sure you think of that. And she said, "I do." She said, "I think, you know, the person that drove me, if he didn't drive me." But so I said, "I understand." So we're going to forgive all of those people, because that woman that got there that day, as I said a minute ago, she's the byproduct of the society that we're living in. We are living in it. We cannot deny it. We are living in a culture of death. We can say we're not. We could say that's being overly dramatic, but the truth is it's a culture of death. So the first thing we did in the car was to forgive all the people that were involved in bringing her there that day. So then we went on to this retreat that she's going to attend, and it's for everybody, Father. It's for the people that drove, the people that encouraged, The grandmothers and grandfathers that are home thinking, I didn't want her to do this, but I'm still in pain. Father, I think the key, one of the keys, there's a lot of keys to breaking open this evil of abortion, but I believe one of the keys is for the people, that woman, she broke this open again for me. She brought home how desperate the grieving society that we live in today is happening. I said it before, people are in their homes, they're grieving, nobody comes out. The key, I think, is for people to come and say, yes, I did have an abortion, but I was brought there. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was young. I was scared. This is what I thought. But guess what? I did it. So and then people want to hear that because people at home, they're saying, well, yeah, me too. I did it. And then, yeah, and I'm a grandmother and I lost my grandchild. And yes, I'm a husband. And guess what? I lost my baby because the courts do not give men any recourse in today's age. They say it's up to the woman. She can make the decision. The men are suffering. Grandmothers are suffering. Aunts and uncles are suffering. It's like, I can't even believe how many people. I think if we, and it's hard to come out and say something, but if everybody realized that they were just caught up into the culture, and if they would come, Father, if somebody would be hearing us today, and they would say, yeah, that's me. I'm suffering. It's been 5 years. It's been 5 months. It's been 15 years. But I'm still, I have this grief. I have this hole in my heart. How can you help me? And Father, if they would come and call, and maybe if anonymously, if need be, they could just come and give their story of how they're suffering. And it would open the door. Somebody else would say, yeah, that's me. And you know, Father, I just don't know how it could all work out. But I've been hearing this in my heart that that might be the key to opening up this evil of abortion.
The evil of abortion. We are living in a culture of death, and that's real. John Paul II told us that. And, you know, October is pro-life month. October is pro-life month. And, you know, this is very important. That used to be pro-life month in Massachusetts, but I remember the governor one time saying, no more pro-life month. But it is pro-life month, October, caring for the women who have had abortions, caring for the women who are going to have abortions, caring for the child within the womb. This is so important. We're not here to point fingers at anybody. That's not what we're here for. We are here to offer help. We are here to offer hope. We are here to offer love. That's what we're here for. We do these broadcasts not because we want people to feel guilty and tormented, but we want to give them a way out of their guilt and torment. You know, Maria Vadia had an abortion, and she tells us, you know, she's totally pro-life now, that you know, the Lord has healed her. The Lord has healed her. She can talk about it, and the Lord has healed her from this. But you see, unless you get this out of you, unless you expose the darkness, unless you expose all the creepy, crawly things that are in your heart, you will always be torn down with this junk that's in you. God forgives you through the blood of Jesus. God forgives you, and it's time that we forgive ourselves. It's time for you to forgive yourself.
That's true, Father. Of course, October is Life Month, but every day is Life Day. That's what we go for. That's our theme song. Every day is Life Day. And what I wanted to also mention, when I had this young lady in the car, I also told her about mercy and the healing power of our Lord Jesus Christ. I also told her two things. Not to be so hard on yourself. You have to, I try to teach her how to do that. But now when we talk about this Project Rachel retreat, they're going to help more. They're going to help the young lady more, or the young man, or the grandmother, whoever comes to this retreat. It's open to everybody that has been affected in some way by abortion. The other thing she brought up and that I would address, she said that her friends say it's been 17 years. Pretty much, why don't you get over it? She said they don't understand. And I said, yes, you cannot listen. People do not understand what you're going through. And I said, So you have to forgive them too. They're trying to help you, but that is not the answer either. So I tried to let her not be so hard on herself and to understand people are going to desensitize her grief. They're going to say, you know, you must be kidding. It couldn't be, but it is, Father. A mother always has a hole in her heart. She does. And it might be fine for a week or two. It might be fine for a year or two. But that hole in the heart comes alive. And then the grief starts and then the depression. The other, after I spoke with that woman, and we're still going to talk about the telephone number to call for a retreat. So you can go for 2 days. It's not much out of your life. But believe me, the stories that people are revived and they're converted and something has been lifted from them. They're sleeping better at night. They realize, okay, that was then. This is now. The Lord's mercy has fallen upon me. The Lord's mercy has fallen upon me like a waterfall, like a cascade. And there's nothing better, Father. Even when I'm just saying it now, I can feel it like the waterfall of mercy falling over these young people, the grandmothers, the aunts, the uncles, the sisters that would have been aunts and the men that would have been uncles. Believe me, this is huge. It's not just the woman that walks in there. You have to understand there's a whole group of people, the media, everybody, the culture of death right behind her as she walks in and she does the act. But it's a whole bunch of other people that are involved. So we're going to speak. We're going to give you that telephone number. It's 2 days out of your life, but your life will be changed. You'll be able to go on and maybe you'll minister to other people. Maybe you'll be a help to other people that are contemplating abortion. I don't know what the Lord has as a mission for this young lady, and she is going to go to the retreat and she's going to take her sister with her because her sister is the only one that really is trying to help her. So the both of them are going to go together. But then the next week, Father, I had a person come by just to leave on a little happy note that she came by and she showed us a picture. She said, somebody was here, you know, 6 years ago. And she said, thank you again. She said, thank you for being here. She said, I want to show you a picture of my little girl. And she did. And she was so happy. She said, the little girl is the joy of my life. And she said, just thank you. Thank you, Jesus. So that's the invitation today now, I think, Father, is for those that have been affected in any way, even of a little way. And you're probably sitting at home saying, oh, I would like to call Father. I would like to get involved in this project. But I don't know. Maybe not. I'm feeling a little bit better today. Maybe I'm really not affected. And I don't think I have the courage. And I don't know. I don't think I will. But that's what you're thinking. That's a normal thing. But I'm going to trump that right now. Jesus is going to trump that negative thought. Get the number right before we finish this program. Get your pencil handy. Go on a retreat and bring other people with you. This is the key. We have to face into it's a culture of death. And this is what we're going to go for today, Father. But if at the end I have a happy story too, but right now we're going with the mercy of Jesus Christ.
You see, we're pro-life in every way. This is October. It's pro-life month. We have a crib that we're filling up with baby clothes, new baby clothes to give to women who choose to have their babies. And you might want to send some baby clothes to Father Tom at Holy Rosary in Winthrop. Father Tom, Holy Rosary, Winthrop, 02152. That's all you need. Beautiful, beautiful clothes. I know one friend of mine went to a Christmas tree shop and she bought all these beautiful onesies. I didn't know what a onesie was from a twosie. But the onesies were 89 cents each. She bought them all. I'm telling you that we need to be pro-life in every area, with our elderly, not only with the babies, but with our elderly. We need to be pro-life in every area, and we need to talk about it because this evil is not talked about enough. And I know people were tempted to say, they're going to say the same old thing today, but we're not saying the same old thing. We're telling you that you can be helped. You can be helped. What is the telephone number of that retreat?
All right, here I have it, Father. It's Project Rachel. And the telephone number is 508-651-3100.
508-651-3100. 651-3100.
Right. And there's another place, Father. Some people like to go on the computer. And there's a place that I've just discovered, and they also do very good work in it. If you go on the computer, it's called abortionrecovery.org. Abortionrecovery.org. So I invite you to just take that step in faith. Father says, take that step in faith and take it, pick up the phone, bring some people with you, get on the retreat, and then come and tell Father how it worked for you. Give your testimony. Speaking out, there's such a healing in just telling people or speaking out and giving your testimony. That's what we need. We need to hear, how were you converted? How were you convicted? How did the mercy affect you? And so I think that would be a wonderful thing, Father, if three or four people came, even if just one, but three or four, and three will lead to six, and six will lead to nine. This is how it's going to go, because the Lord's telling me, take that step in faith, come forward, show other people what can happen, and it's happened to you, because you always tell us, tell your testimony of how you fell in love with Jesus. Well, now give your testimony about how the mercy and the healing power of Jesus Christ fell over you through a retreat. Just come and tell us. I think that would be a beautiful invitation for everybody. Take the step in faith. The Lord will honor that. He takes delight in the step of faith, and then he will run with you. We don't have any idea how many windows and doors will open, but you do always have to take that first foot of faith. Step in faith.
Step in faith, guys. You know, nothing gets done unless you take that step in faith. You know, we're going to be having days of glory. But you see, that didn't start just because we're thinking about days of glory. We had to plan for it. We had to invite people to it. We have to get the musicians. In other words, things just don't happen. They just don't happen. They happen because people in the background are making room for them to happen. You know, you've been dealing with this oppression for years. It's time to let it go. It's time to let it go. And you can have this grace by the power of the cross, that Jesus Christ wants to do brand new things in you. And I know you're saying, I'm not worthy. Listen, you're as worthy as I am, because only one is worthy, and it's Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Only one is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is Jesus. No one is worthy. You said, but I shouldn't have done that. What you shouldn't have done is over now. God wants to bring you to a place of healing so that you can help other people. You know, we see people that are drunks, when they go to AA, what happens is that they then, when they get sober, are able to help other people. They were the ones that were on the street. They were the ones that drank and drank and drank until they reached the lowest point. And then they decided to go to AA, and they stayed free from drink one day at a time. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. But you say, I killed my child. Well, let me just tell you a secret. Your child is waiting for you. Oh, yes. Your child is waiting for you. And that's real. Your child is waiting for you. But he doesn't, or she doesn't want mother or grandmother to feel this agony any longer, because they are in a good place right now with God. With God. Tell us about the Supreme Court, because that's an interesting thing. I'm not going to say we are, but Eleanor has to talk about the Supreme Court.
Well, I'm going to say you should say we are, because everybody that listens know at this point, I think, that Father was the one 13 years ago that invited me to pray in front of Planned Parenthood. Which also reminds me, Father, that the 40 Days for Life is still going on. If someone's listening, they think, oh, is that still going on? I should have done that. Guess what? You still have time left for 40 Days for Life. You just pray in front of Planned Parenthood. That's all. A silent vigil of prayer is powerful. So I'm going to give you Rita Russo's telephone number. She's the one in charge of 40 Days for Life. And it is 781-762-4391.
781-762-4391.
Right. Call Rita. Just say, sure, where do I go? Do I bring quarters for the meter? What time do you want me? Or just come, 1055 Commonwealth Avenue, prayer vigil. There's only a couple more weeks left for 40 days for life, but it's not too late. But so, yes, you did get me involved, Father, and I started to pray, and then I went into the counseling phase of standing outside of Planned Parenthood. But nowadays, and I could invite everybody to pray for our Supreme Court decision that's coming up. If you've been out to Planned Parenthood, you know when I first started 13 years ago, the buffer zone was 16 feet. And in the year 2000, it was increased to 35 feet. And it's very difficult, Father, because the way that we operate is if someone is coming in, I like to go up to them personally and give them my brochure and speak to them one-on-one, which I can still do to some small extent. However, because 35 feet, that's quite a distance. So some of our wonderful pro-life lawyers said, this is unfair. And we went through all the Massachusetts courts, and all the judges said, no, we're going to keep it at 35 feet. So our lawyer said, well, you know what? We're going to go to the Supreme Court. Which in July, I got the call. They said, yes, the Supreme Court will hear the case in January. I believe it's going to be in January. And they're going to hear the case. And it's rather a miracle, really, right now, because they had 6,000 cases to pick from, and they chose 60, and one of them is our case. And we have plaintiffs. I'm the lead plaintiff, McCullen versus Coakley. And we'll be discussing, I believe, what we should be doing is get rid of the whole buffer zone completely, because if it's unconstitutional, we're going by First Amendment right now, freedom of speech. Now, my speech is gentle. Our speech is gentle. Our speech is loving. Our speech is compassionate. Our speech is helpful. Our speech is filled with love. We are there just to say, stop just for a minute. Can I speak with you for 5 minutes? That's all I'm asking. Can I show you how we could help you? As Father has said, my sign has hope, help, and love. And if I'm 35 feet away, it's not effective. So I am missing some couples. And our people are very polite. We have roses. We have baby hats. We have baby blankets. And we're there just, we're compassionate. We're not judgmental by any stretch. We are there. We just want to, and you know, Father, I go right for the woman first. I know because she'll be coming to me 17 years from now. So I'm trying to stop her before that grief sets in. And all I'm saying is I am here to help. Just show me what can I do? What can I do to help you this morning? So the Supreme Court will hear the case, 30 minutes on our side of why I should have First Amendment rights, not me, but our group. We should be able to speak wherever we want on the sidewalk and not be held back. And then, of course, the other side has 30 minutes. But I appreciate you letting me have the time, Father, to say that. We do need prayers now because it's a big case. As First Amendment rights, it's not really about abortion now. It's about First Amendment rights, which is built on our Constitution. And other states throughout the country are waiting for this decision to be made. So if people could keep that in your prayer, Jesus is the judge. Jesus is our lawyer. So I'm not afraid, but we are asking that the Supreme Court, they don't vote politically, that they vote according to the Constitution, the First Amendment right.
And the First Amendment is the freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. Not freedom of speech with 35 feet from the abortion mill, but freedom of speech. Not going on their property, but being on the sidewalk. Freedom of speech. You know, when they take away the freedom of speech from us, I'm going to tell you that's just something else that they take away. All this freedom that the Lord has given the United States of America is being taken away from us little by little. It's eroding, and no one's saying anything. No one's saying anything. Like this Obamacare, I'm telling you, this is eroding on our freedom that people, if they were sick, would always be cared for in the United States. You don't need Obamacare. This is socialized medicine. We've got enough socialism in the United States. We don't need more socialism. But you know what? We voted him in. Catholics and evangelicals voted him in. And, you know, he has a plan of transforming America. We don't need it transformed. We need it to go back to the roots, to go back to the roots. Freedom, 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 freedom to choose, freedom to give life, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You see, this country is one of the two countries that had a pact with God, a covenant pact. This country and Israel, the only two countries that had a, what do you call it, a covenant with God. And we gave our country to God, and you know what? It's being taken away. I have to invite people now to Days of Glory, November 7th to the 10th, and it's going to be held at Crown Plaza Holiday Inn at 15 Middlesex Canal Park, Woburn, Mass. And the telephone number to call, if you're interested, is 520-423-9290, 520-423-9290, 520-423-9290. Lord, we pray for the women that have had abortions. We pray, God, that this would be uncovered and they would be healed and they would be able to smile again from their heart. Father, we thank you for the goodness of the blood of Jesus that forgives sins to the nth degree. We thank you, Lord, that we do proselytize, but with love, with kindness, with gentleness. And we do say that one of the greatest evils in the world is to kill one's child. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.